basically beta testing this curriculum for them. So your kids, if you're willing, will be part of a research group who will take a survey before they start the course, and then after 8 weeks, we'll take the survey again to see if their understanding of mental health and the church has grown in the ways that they're intending it to. If you do not want your kids to take part in the surveys, that's okay. We have an opt-out, but they are still welcome to the Sunday school. But I just need to inform everyone before we start it that they will be not tested. They're going to be, they'll do a survey for it. So if you have any questions about it, please let me know. I also have a form here with just more information about the course if you would like it. So this is for any parents whose kids go to Sunday school with me at 9:30 on Sundays. So, yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Pam. Just going to highlight a few more announcements for you. What we wanted to do is just to highlight and focus on some of the things that God is doing in our church and in our community. One of the things that we mentioned last week is Pastor Michael and his wife Shirley are joining Going Beyond Missions. So they're, oh, sorry. Pastor Michael and Shirley are going, my apologies, Going Beyond Missions. So they're joining that trip in India. Leaving yesterday. I'm all over the place today. So leaving January 11th, so just yesterday, and they're staying for about 2 weeks. So we ask that you would remember them in your prayers, pray for guidance on the trip, and also pray for their safety. Another thing is check your 2024 offering record. So by the church, well, we still have bulletin boards. So by the church office, there's a bulletin board on that side, towards the junior, towards the classroom areas. I'm not an accountant, and I can't give you accounting advice, but if you want your tax return to be as healthy as possible, or at least as accurate as possible, I shouldn't say as healthy, as accurate as possible, based on your church offerings, just check the amounts there. Make sure that the church has that corrected, if there is any errors on that. The last thing I'm going to highlight is a pretty cool thing, the Community of Women Self-Defense class. Sounds amazing. So this is going on March 8th, Saturday, March 8th. And yeah, I was just wishing everyone Happy New Year, but we're already booking into March. It's probably because there are limited spots available. So if you want to sign up for this class, it's $25 per person, and you could go to the QR code in the bulletins to sign up. Hope to see you there. They should put on one for us men. I know Pastor Tim and I have talked about how we would sign up. I need self-defense. All right. Other than that, it's a new year, new tax year. If you would, in terms of members of our church giving back to our church through offering, there are several ways to do so. Cash, check, and also e-transfer, and you could set up e-transfer with the church office. So if you haven't done so, it's very easy. Just talk to them about that. But before I pass off the time to Pastor Phoebe, I'll pray for our time of offering. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for all that you've given to us and your provision, bringing us through 2024 into this new year and providing so much, Lord. And God, I pray that as we give back to you an offering, that we give so out of love and out of faithfulness to you. And God, we pray that it may be used to further your kingdom, to serve others, Lord. Especially as we look to serve those who are in need across our city and across the world. Thank you, God, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Roscoe, for trying to be funny all the time. Just kidding. He is funny. If you could keep praying for Pastor Michael and Shirley and a whole team of people. We still haven't really heard back of whether he arrived in India at the moment, so if you can keep praying for him. Well, my name is Pastor Phoebe. I'm the children's pastor. I preach once a year, and let's just keep it that way. Well, recently, my nephew, Miles, got banned from using his cell phone. Apparently, he's back on his cell phone, as I checked yesterday. And as a gracious and loving aunt, I have decided to take on the responsibility of maintaining something that is very important to him, which is his Brawl Stars account. I don't know if it's working. Okay, there we go. For those who do not know what it is a third-person shooter multiplayer online battle arena video game which you can play on your mobile device. It features a variety of games with a distinctive objective. We can win trophies and recently pizza slices to unlock characters and skins, and just let you know, skins are costumes of characters. Also, there's brawl passes. There are many rewards that you can collect, like credits, gems, coins, PowerPoints, and much more. I don't know too much, but that's all mostly I know. But as a good aunt, okay, I have taken on the task of collecting his dailies, which is basically free stuff, to upgrade his characters by playing the game for him. Remember, for him. So, okay, guys. Before you use my name, okay, the youth, I see you, okay, start using my name, Pastor Phoebe, as to justify playing this game, and those, you know who you are, Cole Wong, remember, I am doing this to assist my nephew so that he does not feel left out, and to get the new updates of his dailies and free stuff, of course. And yes, Cole, your mom did give me permission to call you out. Well, not only that, playing this game has helped me realize that there's a difference between watching the game, someone play the game, versus playing the game yourself. Well, when I used to watch people play the game, they kind of made it look really easy, use the characters to even win. And I'm also quick to judge others' lack of ability when the opponent shoots them point blank. But then, when I started playing, I realized my own limitations and lack of ability, even though there is something called an auto-aim. But yes, I can still miss my targets. Well, prior to playing, I lack understanding the limits of, you know, how many times each character can shoot, or even the different abilities and powers each character has, or even the different levels and upgrades that each character. Anyways, long story short, okay, I'm understanding the complexity and the dynamics of playing the game rather than just watching the game. Well, oh, there we go. It is similar to reading the Bible and also putting yourself into the perspective of the characters in the Bible. Well, recently in our Saturday Children's Fellowship called Sparks and Glow, who's Sparks and Glow friends? No? Come on. Can't hear you. Yeah, Sparks and Glow, yeah. Well, in Glow, which is ranges from our grade 3 to 6, we have been studying on something called the Mosaic Covenant. Well, the goal of Glow is to understand the covenants and the promises of God and how it all leads to the understanding the new covenant, which is Jesus. Well, a month ago, we've been reading Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 to 20, which is the passage I'm going to be talking today. It is about the Israelites who created a gold calf after God has demonstrated his faithfulness and power by leading them out of the land of slavery and oppression. Well, it is easy to judge the Israelites by seeing how many times that they have failed to have faith in God and his provision, even though it is evident and clear of who God is and what God has done for them, they could still cannot let it go. And no, I won't be singing the song. They could not let go of their old ways of worshiping, false gods and idols. And by reading this passage, I hope to bring more context and understanding the dynamics, the complexities, for their inability to let go of their past, even though that God is very present in their lives. So I'm going to do an overview of the story of Exodus for those that do not know this story. And prior to all this happening in Exodus chapter 32, The start of Exodus begins with the life of Moses and God appointing him to lead his chosen people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. The Israelites need deliverance as they face oppression, bondage of slavery for over 400 years. Moses and his brother Aaron brings petitions to Pharaoh, the Egyptian leader, to let God's people go. However, Pharaoh refuses, which led God to bring his judgment through the 10 plagues. It is the 10th plague where God brings the death of the firstborn over the land of Egypt. He instructs the community of Israel to slaughter a young and unblemished sheep or goat and to take their blood and put it on the doorposts of their home. The blood of the doorpost is where God's judgment will pass over them and their household to spare their firstborn. Well, after the Egyptian firstborn males have died, including Pharaoh's son, he finally let God's people leave their land. God keeps protecting the Israelites with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night and leads them out of Egypt. But because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, he pursues the Israelites and his armies and with his armies and chariots. God leads the Israelites to the Red Sea and splits the waters for them to pass through. And as Pharaoh and his army chases the Israelites through the Red Sea, God makes the waters come back and covers the chariots into the sea. God leads the Israelites into the wilderness, where he continues to provide water from a rock and manna and quail. When enemies try to attack the Israelites in the wilderness, God clutches and gives them victory over their enemies. God makes a covenant with the Israelites through Moses on Mount Sinai, which are called the Ten Commandments. Well, I would encourage you, feel free to take your own time to read. It's a really fun read. Well, in Exodus 19, God, the creator of the universe, binds himself to the Israelites by making a covenant with them and promises that they will be the holy nation. Well, it says in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Well, what does God do? He gives them a very special identity to represent himself as his chosen people. With this special calling, the Israelites respond in obedience, saying that we will do everything that the Lord has said. He then gives further instructions in Exodus 20 and to 23 to be his holy nation. Again, in Exodus chapter 24, the covenant is established and legitimized through the sacrifice of animals. And the Israelites respond, again, "Everything that the Lord has said, we will do." But as we all know, that did not last very long. Well, while Moses goes up to the cloud to record the instructions to build the tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant, the Israelites disobeys and breaks the covenant that they have made with God. Well, what's the tabernacle? It's a place where Israelites can go and worship God because God wants to dwell with them. In other words, the holy God wants to be with his chosen people. But because of his holiness, the instructions that were given to the Israelites were to kind of continue to remind them to consecrate themselves, to set them apart and to be made holy so they can approach him. God wants to be with them and live among them. Well, it's kind of crazy to really think about it, that the God of the universe wants to be by their side. God wants to be with his treasured possession, which is the Israelites. However, the people decides to disobey God. So I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 32. If you have your Bible app or your Bible's with you, we're going to be reading from verse 1 to 20. And I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, because I want to be cool. It's kind of a new version, so. So this is what it says in verse 1. "When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, Come, make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who has brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron replied to them, take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the gold rings that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, fashioned it with engraving tool, and made it into an image of a calf. Then they said, Israel, these are your gods who brought you out of the from the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of it and made an announcement. There will be a festival to the Lord tomorrow. Early the next morning, they arose, offered burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. The Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once, for your people you brought up from the land of Egypt has acted corruptly. They have quickly turned away from what I've commanded them, and they have made themselves into an image of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and said, Israel, these are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt. The Lord also said to Moses, I have seen this people, and they are indeed stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger can burn against them and I can destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Lord, why does your anger burn against your people and you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and strong hand? Why should the Egyptians say he brought them out of with an evil intent to kill them in the mountains and eliminate them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger and relent concerning this disaster planned for your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You swore to them by yourself and declared, I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and will give your offspring all this land that I have promised, and they will inherit forever. So the Lord relented concerning this disaster he had said he would bring on his people. Then Moses turned and went down to the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. They were inscribed on both sides, inscribed front and back. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the sound of people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a sound of war in the camp. But Moses replied, it's not the sound of victory cry, but not the sound of cry of defeat. I hear the sound of singing. As he approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses became enraged and threw the tablets out of his hand, smashing them at the base of the mountain. He took the calf they had made, burned it up, and ground it into powder. He scattered the powder over the surface of the water and forced the Israelites to drink the water. So Pharaoh sort of let God's people go, and God's people could not let it go. They cannot let go of their old lives while living in slavery in Egypt, which we can see in this passage. Even though God has shown his faithfulness and mercy towards them over and over again, the Israelites disobey God's commands. Well, as a reader, I want to kind of facepalm and judge the limitations of their minds because God did everything for them. However, when we start to understand the dynamics of what is happening, we might be more like the Israelites than we think, not letting it go. Well, let me explain further. Well, as Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days, the Israelites began to become a little bit impatient and restless. In some ways, they're starting to get to panic about where Moses might be or even if he's alive. They have no clue even if he'll come back. It kind of gives me flashbacks of those traumatizing moments when I was a kid. My mom tells me to wait at the cash register in line. The closer I get to the cash register, the more anxious I get because of the uncertainty of when my parents are coming back. And I need to talk to a stranger. Even though my parents came back right away, each second felt like eternity. Well, I believe that's kind of how the Israelites felt like while they're waiting. The uncertainty while waiting makes you become restless and even desperate for something or even someone to stabilize the internal earthquake caused by panic and anxiety. because Moses took a long time, they became more and more restless because of the unknown of their future. They have these unmet expectations that are causing them to become more frustrated and even bitter to why they are where they are, which is the wilderness. In these moments of desperation and fear, there is a temptation to kind of take matters into their own hands, which is falling back into the things that they know and did in the past back in Egypt. They need to be in control. And that has tempted them to fall into sin, disobey God, and even disobey his commands. Well, while I was preparing my curriculum for Sparks and Glow, I stumbled upon a pastor from the Life Bible Ministry called Pastor Paul. And he used a really interesting word to describe what the situation that's going on with the Israelites, which is the word backsliding. So according to Google, and then it led me to Cambridge English Dictionary, backsliding means to go back to do something bad when you have been doing something good. It's kind of like making New Year's resolutions on eating healthily. Not even close to the end of the first month, you fall back into your old habits of eating junk food. Is anyone guilty of this? Anyone? Or is it just me? Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, because of the restlessness, desperation, unmet expectations, anxiety, and fear, they have put themselves into a very dangerous situation by taking matters into their own hands and going back to their old ways, which is worshiping an idol. They need to put their faith in something they can see, which is something tangible, which is creating a gold calf. As the Israelites have brought their concerns, there we go. As the Israelites have brought their concerns to Aaron, we can see that he is also facing the same restlessness and waiting. Rather than being a godly leader and pointing the people back to God's word, he rashly and frantically solves their problem and pleases their request by creating the gold calf. Well, in verse 2, it mentions that he takes their gold and creates an idol in the shape of a calf. Well, back in Egypt, they worshiped different deities and gods to gain favor of the things that they need. For example, they worshiped a frog-headed goddess that symbolizes birth. So frogs were considered sacred and not to be killed. Thankfully, this does not happen to us because frogs are kind of delicious. The calf, sorry, Chinese, Asian, come on. off topic. But the calf represents a young bull, which is associated with the god of fertility and strength named Apis. Just by creating a gold calf, Aaron and the Israelites have committed sin against God by disobeying the two commandments. Well, first is that do not have gods beside me, and the second is do not make yourself an idol, and do not bow down in worship to them, and do not serve them. Well, they've already broke the first two commandments, but what makes this story even juicier and more interesting is how Aaron justifies his reason to worship this calf by attributing their worship to God. Well, in verse 5, when it says, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. If you read in your Bibles, it actually, if you see the lowercase Lord, it usually describes a person that is respectable or of royalty. But when it mentions in all caps, L-O-R-D, it is to talk about God or Yahweh. So basically, Aaron labels this worship to the gold calf, labels this worship of the gold calf to God. In some ways, it's kind of like a good excuse. When Moses comes down, they can justify what they're doing. Well, kind of like how I say during VBS week that the bouncy castles that we rent out is actually for the kids. But secretly, it's actually for our VBS leaders, especially the pastor. Well, under peer pressure and desperation, Aaron becomes a people pleaser, a pushover, which has led people into sinning against God. Instead of guiding people back to faith as a leader, he falls into their commands and creates a false narrative to hide their sin. But little does Aaron know, that even though Moses does not see, but God sees. In verse 7, God tells Moses to go down and see how evil and ungrateful the people have become. God's wrath was upon the people of Israel for their disobedience. They broke their covenant with him and is worshiping an idol. God is a jealous God. But thankfully, in verse 11, Moses quickly intercedes for the Israelites by reminding God of his reputation and his covenant that he has made with their forefather Abraham. God has made a promise and covenant with Abraham by blessing his descendants. And if you want to read more of that, that's in Genesis chapter 15. Technically, this is a very risky move on behalf of Moses by advocating for the Israelites and their sinfulness by petitioning against God with his own word. Parents, you might understand that. As Moses heads down and sees all their festivities, he breaks the commandments out of anger. And as a punishment, he burned the calf in fire, grounded the powder, and made the people drink the water. Well, I'm just going to stop there because afterwards, Aaron starts making these excuses of how the calf became to be, and it becomes interesting. But this story in verse 1 to 20, Israelites cannot let it go. They could not leave their past in Egypt and serve and worship God fully. Despite time and time again, God has proven himself to be worthy of their worship. God wants their full loyalty and faith in him. However, they could not let go of their old habits, their ways of worshiping their idols. Because of their restlessness, desperation, unmet expectations, they begin to take matters into their own hands and have taken control of their own lives. Well, we have also these little idols we worship alongside of God, thinking that they are not problems. In times of desperation, restlessness, during uncertainty, we fall back into these idols by making or taking matters into our own hands. We fail to rest in the assurance of God's faithfulness by holding on to these idols rather than letting them go. So what are some of these idols that you cannot let go? Sorry, my throat is a little bit dry. Well, these could be tangible idols that you depend on your identity or your value, like people, money, children. There's different coping mechanisms that are not very healthy as well, like drugs, gambling, or over-consuming alcohol. But there's also these intangible idols that brings comfort, just like, you know, justifying one's own self-righteousness, victimizing oneself, with bitterness or anger, resentment, frustration, whining, blaming others, all of these things. So what are these idols that you need to let go that is preventing you from really worshiping God fully with your whole heart? But what if you don't know what it is? Well, I remember when I was serving with the homeless ministry and when I was living in Hong Kong, one of the profound moments that I had was seeing the homeless people being very open and honest about their situation and circumstances. It made me reflect if I am honest about my own sin and problems, even though on the outside I am fine. This realization has helped me to become more self-aware of the idols in my life that I need to, ask the light of Jesus to shine through in my heart. We must recognize the power that we have in Jesus Christ, that Jesus in his death and resurrection has reconciled our relationship with God the Father. He took the punishment of our sins on the cross, which is death, so that we can have a new life in him. We do not live in condemnation and judgment, but in mercy and grace that we receive through Jesus Christ. Well, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God and who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is in Christ that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. So yes, we will continue to backslide and return our old ways. But praise God that we have Jesus. We need to continue to confess and repent of our ways by changing our actions by through the transformation of our hearts. Well, this is part of our sanctification. We need Jesus to help us change and to help us to continue to let go of what these idols are. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in a view of mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will be able to discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. But not only that, we do have a helper who will continually to empower us to face these temptations, which is the Holy Spirit. That the power that raised Jesus from the dead is with us today. And that says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit. His spirit who lives in you. The spirit works powerfully and actively in a believer, deepening their intimacy with Jesus. It is to acknowledge that, hey, there is an ongoing struggle of sin. We will backslide. But through the work of sanctification, one can overcome their tendency to sin. It is not to see that, oh, you know, Jesus has eliminated all sin. We're free. But it's to see that, yes, we need to continue to suppress the urges of sin through the continuous active work of the Spirit. This process requires the believers to continue to receive Jesus as their holiness and to maintain an intimate and dependent relationship by the Holy Spirit. Through sanctification, one can overcome the tendency to sin and to continue to rely on the power of the risen Christ through the work of the Spirit to let go. So let's take some time right now. Just give you a moment of silence, and we're just going to end off in prayer. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for your word and reminding us that you are faithful when we are not. That we are sinful. But Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for us. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who continues to help us because we will fail. We will backslide. But Lord, teach us each day to let it go. Let go of the past. Let go of the things that we have made idols into our hearts. And so Lord, help us reveal those things to us with your Spirit so that we can worship you fully with all of our hearts, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, as a response to this message, really of, yes, we are imperfect and we always backslide and we always make mistakes, but as a response, how perfect is it to come to the communion table, to come to this table of mercy and grace and forgiveness and love today? So I'll invite Pam and Phoebe to come as they'll help serve today. And really, this is a meal that we do together. Part of why we call it communion, and it's also called that because it really is a time of encounter with Jesus as well. So let me read for us today from 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let me pray for us, and then, as you can see, we'll have three stations, and we'll invite you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to come forward. So Jesus, we are truly amazed that even though we are so imperfect, that you, the perfect God, offer yourself to us. We thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your sacrifice. And we pray even now as we receive these elements that we would know you more and in a fresh way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So worship team, I invite you to